welcome to the Poultry Leadership Podcast. Hey guys, I'm your host, Brandon Molnix, and on today's show, we're going to do things a little different. We're recapping IPPE 2024. So if you didn't get a chance to attend, man, this is the show for you. And if you did get a chance to attend, maybe you didn't get a chance to stop by, but I'm going to cover in this show a few of the things that I noticed by being at the show, and what a great show this week. The one thing I noticed right off the bat was people. My last time I attended the show was 2023, and we were recovering from COVID, and it was the off year. Showco didn't have a lot of the equipment providers there, and so we didn't exhibit. But this year we got to exhibit, and so as the week went by, I just noticed a lot of people from all across the U.S. Lots of customers, lots of vendors. Heck, Nate was right when he was interviewed on the podcast a few weeks ago. And he talked about the scope of this show and just how big it was going to be. It was big. It was really big. As we talk today, I'm also going to cover a few of the hot topics, and we'll get into that in just a few moments. So I want to go back to the people. Who was at the show? One thing we noticed was about 80 to 90% of the producers, at least large-scale producers, possibly the top 60, at least 80 to 90% were represented there at the show, which is great. That means producers are going and learning and trying to figure out what products that they want to use for the future. But what I want to talk about is who wasn't at the show. The people I didn't see at the show, there were not a lot of maintenance people. You know, maintenance people that work in the industry, that go and fix the equipment, that know what works and what doesn't work because they're the ones who have to maintain it, weren't there. I saw a couple of them, and they would sit in our booth and tell us what was working, what was not working. And it was just, those are the conversations that really help us as vendors improve our product. But overall, there weren't a lot of guys there. A lot of the people we saw there were the decision makers, the guys and gals that make the decision on a corporate level are deciding the equipment and stuff for the next project. But man, I wish I could have seen a lot more maintenance guys, a lot more pullet managers, layer managers, guys that are raising the birds. They just didn't see a lot of those guys there. And there's so many great things that they can provide to their companies with information. So a little disappointed. Wish we would have saw a few more of those, but man, it was a great show when it came to people. Nath did not disappoint. So let's take a minute, and I'm just going to run through what a week looks like for me as a vendor. So our team arrived Sunday, came in, got set up, had to unload all of our crates, make sure everything was there, and just get everything all set up. Because on Monday, man, the meeting started. UEP has their meetings on Monday over at the Omni, and that was a great time to, you know, network with customers that were there just specifically for the UEP event, as well as listen to the topics and the reports from the different committees and where the UEP group is going. We follow that up with a Palomar reception, so drinks and networking, which is always a great time to interact with customers. And then, of course, you got to have dinner. So we were able to take a customer out that night. On Tuesday, man, things got kicked off really slow. As that big, huge convention hall fills up with people, we just so happened to have one of those locations that was just off to the outside, just away from all the commotion and the busyness of the event. But over time, customers started rolling in, and we were able to have great one-on-one meetings with customers. And with a venue with that many people in it, to have one-on-one meetings and not be distracted, it just worked out really well. We then go and have to have dinner, so we take another customer out, which is always great. Because when you get to take a customer out, you're enjoying dinner similar family style. I know our dinner, we happened to hit a great restaurant, great steak place, and man, oh, the dinner, the food was great, and just the time, getting to know each other, getting to talk about the real issues that they're struggling with, and just further developing those relationships was incredible. Wednesday morning, woke up to a really busy trade show. Our team hardly left the booth because customer after customer rolled through and just shared what they needed from us as a vendor. which was awesome. We were able to talk about all the new products and all the new different things that we are doing for the industry, which was great. Wednesday night, happened to have dinner with another vendor, which was great, just because they were a supplier to us, and so they were able to take us out and actually share with us what their new products are and deepen those friendships and relationships. So that was awesome. Thursday is what I call network day. Thursday is the day where most of the customers are filtering through or have already taken off for home, but the vendors are able to sit around and collaborate on different ways that we can improve for the following year or the new products or, you know, create new business networks. Thursday afternoon, pack up, and it would have been nice, but our trade show booths, they didn't get there till late. I think I won the lottery with the first one, and I probably lost the lottery by having one of the last booths or last crates for our area. So I ended up arriving home back on Friday. Makes for a pretty darn long week, but man, it was worth all the extra energy. The hot topics this week: fire, egg counters, and data. So I want to break those topics down a little bit. If you didn't have a chance to stop by the booth, I want to talk to you about those. Why was fire the number one topic that I talked about? Well, there were two big fires in the week leading up to the show, and also on Monday of the show, there was a couple houses lost in Texas. And man, we're not going to sit here and speculate what started those fires. We're not insurance companies. We're not the fire investigators. But what we are going to talk about is how fire is affecting our industry. And this is a topic that I'm very passionate about. This is a topic that I have been working really hard to learn even more of, even after being a fireman for 20 years. And just trying to figure out how we can stop the industry, the poultry industry, the pig industry, the cattle industry from losing buildings to fire. So we're going to talk about that here today. We'll break down a little bit about egg counting issues, as well as we're going to talk about data, temperature data and all the different data that's collected by the barns. So let's jump even more into this whole fire thing. As the industry continues to lose buildings, what's really hard for the industry is the fact that when a fire burns in Texas, it's going to affect the insurance rates of farms in Delaware. It's going to affect the insurance rates of farms in Washington State. This industry's buildings were all typically designed for animal welfare. What that means, as temperature goes up, more fans turn on. As temperature goes up, more air is introduced in the building because the air inlets open. In the poultry industry, all of the systems have been designed to always fail for the safety of the animals. So for example, if their temperatures continue to rise, let's say past 90 degrees, all the fans are going to fail on and the air inlets are going to fail open. So what that means is, if there's a power failure, the birds are typically, or a controller failure, the birds are going to have the ventilation that they need, versus if it fails and shuts off, then birds are going to be at risk. And so with these designs in place, what happens is when a fire happens, that temperature rises. And as the temperature rises, more oxygen, more air speed is created. And what that does to the fire, it just continues to spread very, very quickly. Most farms have settings around 90 degrees for a temp alarm. And also at that temp alarm is the thermostat set to turn on all the fans in the event of a failure of the control system. Temps rise to 90 degrees pretty quickly in a fire. And then that extra oxygen, that extra wind speed is just naturally introduced to the building. It doesn't take long before there's a power failure because the wires burnt through and the building is now probably in a defensive fire mode because there's really no way to keep it contained. Well, I'm going to talk about our company just a little bit because we actually tested and deployed a solution for fire in this industry, and we're not waiting until it turns into a fire. One of the key things that we identified really early is this has to be stopped at smoke. The Animal Welfare Committee, part of UEP, a few years ago released a study saying that electrical, mechanical, and heaters were the normal sort of, were the typical cause of fires in the poultry barn. Why identifying it as smoke is so important is if you can identify it as smoke by, let's say, an overheating bearing that's smoking, or a motor failure that's smoking, or a power supply that's smoking, you, by turning off the power, it typically will reduce the heat source for the fire, making sure that the fire doesn't grow. So for us, smoke was the most important thing to identify. Because we could identify smoke with our therm system, we're able to quickly, very early, notify farm staff and the fire department while simultaneously shutting off the fans, closing air inlets, and shutting off the motors that run the egg belts, manure belts, and power supplies to the house. This giving time for the fire department to respond. Because most of these fire departments are in the rural areas, it takes time for the call to come out, the firemen to leave their day jobs, to leave their homes, get to the fire station, and respond to the farm. Sometimes that can take 15, 20, 25 minutes. The earlier they're notified, the better chance that they're going to have and get to the farm and actually put out a fire in the event the fire didn't extinguish itself when the power was turned off. For us, if we can, at the smoke level, start that notification process, and even if a fire does start to spread a little bit, by turning off the electricity to the motors, it's going to shut off those fans that naturally would want to turn, more of them would want to turn on. We also have the feature of closing the air inlets. Well, what that does is it starts to suffocate the fire. As the birds continue to breathe oxygen, it's going to reduce that oxygen in the room. And for a period of time, that oxygen is going to be a little bit depleted, and that's going to keep the fire from spreading. No air velocity, so nothing's blowing that fire through the building. By doing all of those things, it's going to give the farm a chance to respond to that event much, much sooner than a normal building, because typically what we're finding is a lot of these fires are called in by someone outside of the farm. They see the smoke from their home driving down the highway, and by then that fire is self-ventilated and that fire is spreading way too quickly. If we wait till that smoke gets out of the building, it's probably too late. By identifying as smoke and then integrating with the power and the controls, we've provided a solution to the industry. And this is a tested solution. This isn't something that we just made up or made out of, you know, pulled out of our rear ends. No, this is something that we worked with engineers. And then we were actually blessed to have the Canadian wildfires test it in Iowa when that smoke settled in the area and had 8 detectors, smoke detectors, go off perfectly, just the way we wanted to. And by doing that, it helped build confidence in this system. So this is a tested, proven system that by the end of 2024 should be protecting over 3 million birds. From 0 2 years ago to over 3 million birds in just under 2 years, that's one heck of an innovation process in this industry. Other things that we've learned on this fire topic, building construction. As these fires happen in the industry, we take time and we learn what happened, what worked, what didn't work. And a lot of the farms have policies in place that if barn number one is on fire, you're to drive a bulldozer through the causeway between barn number one and the processing facility, or barn number one and barn number two, because that's what's going to keep the fire from spreading. Well, guys, a lot of that's because of ventilation. A lot of that is because of the air in the other barn is creating a negative pressure in that causeway, pulling the fire towards it. So you got to think about some building construction ideas out there. What if you put an inlet that could open up in the event of a fire in that causeway, short-circuiting the airflow, so that way air from that negatively pressured ventilated barn next door is pulling that air out of the causeway instead of out of the barn next door. That's one idea. There's so many great ideas out there through building construction. Put them a little farther apart. Putting firewalls in between the two buildings. Those are different things that the contractors are looking for. If you've got ideas, contact us and share them with us, because our goal I mean, these are free ideas. These are ideas that we give out because we're focused on the controls. We're focused on the things that we can have an effect on with controls and automation. But if there's an idea that you've seen or heard, please reach out to me. And I'll be more than happy to put them in the list of things that we've been able to help other farmers with. What does it mean to the farmer? Why was it such a hot topic this week? Well, it goes back to that whole insurance issue. The fires that happened this week will be on the forefront of the insurance underwriters' minds when the industry goes to get reinsured this spring. As a customer has to go in March or has to go in April to talk to the insurance underwriters and say, hey, Mr. Underwriter, can you give us a good rate on insurance? And then they look at the industry and go, well, it's been having some really big issues this year with fire. What are you guys doing? What is your company doing to respond and reducing our risk as an insurance carrier or an insurance underwriter? Those rates aren't going down. They keep going up. I talk with the insurance companies, and the industry as a whole continues to evolve. Because unfortunately, what's happened is the barns that have burnt in the last couple of weeks are new barns. These aren't barns that are 20, 30 years old. These are barns that were built to house cage-free birds. And not knowing what the causes of those fires are, it just shows that, hey, building construction is only a small portion. It may slow down the fire, but ultimately, we've got to do something that much greater to prevent these fires. And so fire was the hot topic. Fire was, and that's all pun intended, fire was the conversation that was the conversation that really, really affects. And we've got some other products in development. We're trying to do some predictive maintenance so those motors are in better shape and the power supplies are better regulated and the ohms are measured and all of those things. So we realize as a technology company in this industry, we do have a role. We do have a responsibility to continue to innovate and protect farmers. And so, man, that was one of those topics this week that really, really, really was important for our customers and important for us. The second big topic that we talked a lot about was egg counting. Folks, the IR counter that's been around for a really long time was a really, really good counter. When eggs were presented under one, two, three at a time, it handled them. It counts. You know, 96 to 98% accuracy. You know, it didn't know the difference between an egg and a ball of manure. But you know what? It counted it. And as things worked, belts were pretty simple. There wasn't as much weight on the belts because it was just the eggs were all in spread out across the cage environment. They worked really, really well. But over the past few years, we were challenged to come up with a better solution because one of the things that doesn't work in cage free is when an egg goes under the counter, the belt stops and the eggs roll back. And that can be for a number of reasons. It can be because the belts aren't necessarily level, and so gravity kind of pulls the egg back. And so what happens, though, is the egg rolls through the first, counted on the first time. It rolls back under and counted a second time. And then when the belt starts back up, it's counted a third time. And that egg, if you have three counts on one egg, it's probably three counts on multiple eggs. That doesn't work for a system. That doesn't work for egg flow very well. The other issue is cleanliness. IR counters are right close to the belt. They have to be within an inch of the egg. And that area with all that air movement just caused by that egg going by creates this static electricity, creates dust that then collects on the IR counter. We've heard our customers talk about how they have to keep the egg counters clean. Every day they're cleaning those egg counters. Some every week, some every month, but most of them that want accurate egg counts found that they have to do it every day. And unfortunately, what happens is they then have a tendency to knock them out of alignment. And when an egg counter is out of alignment, if it's too close to the belt, it counts too many. Every hole that goes by in the belt, it will count as an egg. Or if it's too far away from the egg, it won't count the egg at all. And so when you have a system that already has a variable of birds that are laying on that row, on that tier, and that egg belt doesn't have a standard of maybe 1,000 eggs a day or 10,000 eggs a day. It's going to be a variable that ranges based on where those birds are most comfortable laying their eggs. And so when you already have a variable of number of eggs going by, it's really hard to tell if your egg counter is accurate or not. What we did was we went out, we listened, and we came up with a solution, partnered with a producer out there, and we actually worked together and designed a vision-based egg counter. Why a vision-based egg counter works so much better is, one, you always can see what eggs are being counted. You always have the visibility of eggs going under and seeing the numbers change, seeing the identifier mark change and says, yep, I was counted. It's a bigger field of view. So as the egg comes in, it's counted. If the egg comes back and rolls back, it has to roll back a lot farther before it's a new egg to the system. And what that has allowed us to do is it actually allows farmers to see what their belts are doing underneath. If the egg belt stops and they see the eggs go back and forth, they know to go and correct it, either with a mechanical means, changing motors, maybe it's the gearbox or the doesn't have a brake on the belt. And so they're able to go out and fix it, and it's no longer the counter's fault. It's actually the system. They can make adjustments and fine tune it. Well, when you have really accurate counts, it really smooths out your egg flow. We've seen that with so many customers. Over 5 million birds this year alone are producing eggs that go under egg counters. That's a lot of counts. And why that's important is we all know that the egg is the value to an egg producer. When eggs are flowing and it's smooth and there's less stops, that means less time for that egg to roll into the next one for checks and cracks. And it just helps smooth out the processing facility, because as it turns on and off houses and rows and being able to adjust, those eggs are able to come in much smoother. And when at the end of the day, when there's less stops, the eggs are presented to the greater and better quality, that return on investment 101. Also, I have to say, make sure you're tuning your system. Over time, VS drives and other types of mechanical issues come into play when it comes to your egg flow. We encourage you to give us a call and let one of our guys come on site and help tune your system. It is the musical instrument that just absolutely plays into your grader and your breakers. And if that's out of tune, the whole system is out of tune. If one house is not providing eggs at the right speed, the rest of the houses are not providing the eggs at the right speed. It's important that you look at that system as a whole and say, hey, what can I do to tune it and to make sure that everything's working appropriately? And our guys have a lot of experience doing that. They go on sites, they go on different equipment. They've dealt with pretty much any kind of problem in the industry. We really encourage folks to give us a call so we can come out and help tune that system. And some of that can be done remotely. Some of it can be done only on site, where we can help see the problem and kind of just watch as it all comes together. One of the last hot topics is data. For years and years and years, controllers have been providing data. Temp sensors, feed schedules, water usage, mortality, all the different aspects of what keeps birds healthy, alive. But what do you do with it? For years, that data has been siloed within the controller, and then it moved up into more of a server for the whole system. Well, this year, we were excited because we were able to show customers the next generation of our product, where it's a corporate level data management system that takes all that data and starts to put it into usable form, where a CFO can look at the data and hit the way he needs the data to be presented to him. A pullet manager can look at all of their pullets that they're responsible for and see the variety based on the genetics of the bird, on the type of bird, the age of the bird, overlay different information on top of each other, record events to say, hey, on this date, this happened, and then this is possibly why this data is turning out the way it is. But just to give visibility to corporate level data, multiple farms, multiple locations from across the country, all pulled into one system that can now be looked at in ways to go, oh, now it's that much more usable. It also allows us, when we have that data, to start to understand what's needed at the controller level, to go backwards, to allow someone to dive in all the way from their headquarters all the way down to the barn, and just being able to make those adjustments and being able to really make those micro adjustments that really help the flock. Not the data that's going to help tomorrow, but maybe the data that you need to look at in a week or 2 weeks because of the event that happened today. So that was another really big topic, another thing that we were able to talk about a Reach product with. And so that was quite exciting to be able to share with customers just what's going on. Overall, those are the three hot topics of the week. I appreciate the time that you've allowed me to talk to you about them. This event has allowed me to reach out and connect with some future guests on the show and just hear the feedback about this show that has really helped others grow. And with 6 episodes, this will be episode 7. I'm just excited to be able to bring to you that many more awesome guests that find value in helping the next generation of leaders in this industry to bring that event out to the farm level, to bring that event and the topics to the folks in this industry that really, really want to grow. So if you know somebody that just you wants to learn about what this industry is about, is new to the industry, maybe they just became, got a job in sales for feed, maybe they got a job in sales for equipment, maybe they're a veterinarian that's just now getting into this industry, I'm hoping this podcast is shared with them. Please share this with your friends that are in the industry, share this with other folks. And also reach out to me. If you want to be a guest on the show, please reach out to me. My email address is bmulnix, M-U-L-N-I-X, at prismcontrols.com. And I would love to talk about how you can contribute to the industry, because this show is only valuable when guests come on and share their stories, share the things that they've overcome, share their learnings, so that way you as a listener can grow. Thank you again. And this show wouldn't be possible without Prism Controls. Have a great day.